Welcome to the Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast. I'm your host, Michael Whitehouse. Today we are speaking with Lorraine Duncan from Biz Gone Social. She has always been passionate about helping people. She studied psychology in college, but found that wasn't the right path for her. A chance meeting at a wedding reception led her down the path to business coaching. That evolved into social media management, and today we have a great conversation about social media with quite a few tips and tricks that you can use for your business. So let's get to know Lorraine Duncan. So I'm here today with Lorraine Duncan from Biz Gone Social, a digital marketing agency. How are you doing today, Lorraine?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. So tell the fine folks at home a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I am a 58-year-old woman who has a family of four. I've been married for over 37 years, and I've actually been in the digital marketing space for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
So basically, I'll tell you a little bit about my business. So I started out as actually a business coach. After I stayed home with my children for, you know, a good amount of time, I worked in a hospital. And so when I went back into the field, I was either overqualified or underqualified. And as I was starting to actually try to get any job, I found that for the most part, I was overqualified. And then what ended up happening was my most embarrassing moment was I went to this interview where it was a group interview. And hands down, I actually won the interview, and meaning that I got the job, but it turned out it wasn't what I expected it to be. So here's my happy accident, which can be found at Biz Gone Social on my bio. But I was actually at a wedding, and I was sitting with a bunch of, I guess, disgruntled business owners, and they were just so sad. And I don't know how we happened at this table, but we didn't know anybody. And so I just kept on troubleshooting. I said, well, did you try this? Did you try that? Did you try this? So I decided at that point, somebody had came up to me at the table and said, did you ever think of becoming a business consultant? So I looked it up when I got home, and it was like, I didn't want to go back for another 4 years of school. So literally I looked up what it would be to get certified as a business coach. And then as I was certified as a business coach, did some coaching for a while, I grew my business with social media marketing, and I actually fell in love with it. And I realized I still can coach. I still can help business owners and do social marketing at the same time. And you know, and be a business coach at the same time, and also do social media marketing. So long story short, that's how I ended up with Biz Gone Social. And I've never looked back. I love doing what I'm doing. I love helping business owners, especially the brick and mortar, the small shops, the small people that aren't big, that can't really afford a huge amount. They don't have a really large marketing budget. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they know they need to be on social media, and they know that exposure is really important to them.
And what does it take to get certified as a business coach?
Well, for me, I went through a place called the Coach Training Alliance, and it took me about 6 to 8 months. And you actually had to coach like over 30 people. And there was also a lot of like in-house training, meaning over the phone, the teacher mm-hmm. would actually listen to you be coached. Give feedback on coaching. So it was, the reason you have to be able to feel that is because you have to know, remember, you're not telling people, when you're a business coach, you're not telling people what they have to do, but you're allowing them to arrive at that decision for themselves. Mm-hmm. So this way it's basically all on them, meaning they're the ones that are deciding it. This way, like if I told them to do something and it was wrong, I could get in a lot of trouble. This way, keeping it as, well, what do you feel about that? How will that help you? What steps do you need to do that? And when are you going to do that? By what date? And, you know, so, and it's quite actually, it's really how I discovered coaching was I was coached myself. And it's actually a really wonderful, you know, it really helps you as a person and as a human being. And mm-hmm. that was why I was always in the fields. I was a psych major in college. And that's what I, you know, I thought that's what I wanted to be. But then when I saw the clinical version of that, I realized real quickly that's not what I wanted to be when I grew up.
Yeah. So, and it sounds like the key to becoming a coach is to go to a lot of weddings and sit at the right table.
Exactly. For me, it was, at least. It was also because I was at the point of very much that weekend was the culmination of my frustrations from the week before of being told, I'm sorry, but you're too overqualified. I'm sorry, you're not qualified enough. I'm sorry. So hearing that over and over again, you know, in my mind, I just wanted to do something that was going to move me forward in my life and something that I really felt like I can contribute to society and also help the small guy.
Okay. And so with social media, because a lot of people, I mean, I imagine most of our listeners are savvy enough to be listening to a podcast, so they're probably in the, you know, upper 50 percentile of social media savvy people. But what are some of the, you know, basic things that people should know about social media that you find that they often don't?
So a lot of people out there, especially when I first am hired, and it doesn't happen quite as often now because I actually have a really huge onboarding process with a lot of education around social media for the client. But a lot of people think if you put a post up, they will come. It's kind of like the whole thing, you know, I don't know if you remember that movie Field of Dreams, if you build a baseball field, you know, they're going to come, you know. And here's the thing is like, they won't come. It's you have to be consistent. You know, it's a big, you know, the whole thing with social media is exposure and brand awareness. And you have to know that making one post every 5 years is not going to make your brand any better than somebody just joining for the first time. So I always teach that we have to be consistent. We have to be on the social platforms that are good for them. So what I mean by that is, like, for instance, if you're business to business, you do want to spend some time on LinkedIn. If you're business to consumer, Instagram and Facebook are really great for that. And I'm not going to go into all the platforms, but you kind of get the gist, is that you want to be I tell them, let's get consistent on one before we try to get consistent on others, because content is involved and strategic planning is involved, and you just, that doesn't happen overnight.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's better to be good at one than bad at everything.
I'm sorry, say that again.
It's better to be really good on one platform than kind of on every platform, but without a real solid strategy or presence.
Correct. But I, you know, today, so back when I started with social media, they kind of said, just be on one and that's all you should do. But I err master one and then move on to the other. And then master that one and move on to the other. But don't try to do it all at once, because you'll get overwhelmed and it will be frustrating because you're like, you don't know what you're doing. So you have to make sure that you know what you're doing first before you can move on to the other. And quite frankly, if you're doing really good on Instagram, you know, the others will come easily. Or if you're doing really good on Facebook or whatever you decide to start out at, you're going to actually, you'll get the hang of it and what you have to do. You just have to know what's good for one platform may not be good for the other. Mm-hmm. So for instance, on Twitter, you know, it's like you don't, it's just little tweets, little blurbs. Okay. Like titles, or because they only give you like 120 characters. Actually, they extended that now. But when I started out, it was like, you got 120 characters and that's it. Now they extended it, but you still have a limit. Plus Twitter isn't made to write 20 paragraphs. Mm-hmm. However, on Instagram, people do read Instagram. And so you need to have not only a great picture, but you need to have some good quality content that will make people read you have to entice them. And the picture is what entices them. And on Facebook, I always just say a nice picture with a little blurb, not like, again, not seven paragraphs. If you see the see more, like on Facebook, if you see the see more, you've written too much.
Yeah, that's one of the things that kind of blew my mind when I realized that Instagram, the character limit on Instagram is like 30,000 characters or something it's something really high. And when I realized that how effective it was to actually really use that, because no one does, the people will actually read it because they're curious and they want to know what's there.
Right.
If you're interesting.
Yeah, and what's important too, what people forget about with Instagram, it's not just about the picture or the content, but it's also about the hashtags. And believe it or not, you could do this test. If you have an Instagram account, you could do this test at home. Make a post with a picture and some writing and don't add any hashtags, and not one person will like or see your post. However, if you put a couple of hashtags, and that you can have up to 30 hashtags, but they should be searchable. In other words, you don't want to put, like, for instance, BizGone Social right now, which is the name of my business, that maybe like they have about 20 or 30 searches just because, you know, I'm trying to brand that hashtag. However, if I type in a hashtag marketing, you'll have over 1.2.3 million people. That's searchable. So you want to put that, but you also want to have a middle of the road, like 50,000, and you want to have a 10,000 people that searched it. So you want to have them all over the place. So it's just not, you know, a huge concentration in one amount. So a hashtag, I like to explain a hashtag is that search, like it's a keyword, but it's a tag that everybody has searched. So you don't want to use a hashtag that nobody has searched, you know? So, you know, and that all depends on what you're trying to accomplish, you know? So some of the bigger, go ahead.
One of the challenges Instagram also is, unlike Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, you can't put direct links in your posts.
So there's a way of getting around that. And yep. You know, so here's the way of getting around it. What you have to do is that if, whatever you're like, say, whatever you want to give away or whatever you want to market, or maybe you just want to bring people to your website. So you make sure that that's on the bio. Mm-hmm. And then in the post. So like, I'll give you a great example. I do Freebie Friday, where I give a freebie away. Sometimes it's a little PDF white paper to how to take the overwhelm out of social media. So what I do is I make the post, I copy the little booklet, the picture. And then what I do is I write something, you know, are you overwhelmed with social media? Here's a quick guide on how to take the overwhelm out of social media. And then I say very specifically, click the link on my bio at BizGone Social. If you at, that's the only, that hypers. So you click the at and it brings you right to the bio, which is mm-hmm. great. And also an interesting thing is in IGTV now, you can actually have a clickable link. So in other words, you do a video, you send it through IGTV, you do all your content in the IGTV platform, and in the description, you actually can put your website or whatever you're like. I have a client right now that's doing something on energy. So she has this clickable link. I bit.ly it so I can track that link. And mm-hmm. you have a clickable link right in IGTV. If you're utilizing IGTV, Instagram is very excited about that. So you have a more of a chance of getting your little videos noticed, as opposed to if I took that same video and put it up on Facebook. And okay. And that's, you know, and that's really important. And yes, you can have as many clickable links on Facebook as you want. But the problem with that is that Facebook gets upset and they do not want you to go off of Facebook. So that's why I always tell people, if it's your video, don't put it on YouTube and then link it to Facebook. Put your video on YouTube, but also put a direct video on Facebook. You actually get more views because Facebook doesn't want to take you off of Facebook. Very important to know that.
Eyes on the site. And you mentioned Bit.ly. So for those who are not familiar with what Bit.ly is, yeah. What is Bit.ly?
So Bit.ly is actually a link shortener, but it like also gives you some stats about, and it's free. There is a free version. I have a paid version. So I actually don't know what the criteria is anymore to have the free version. But basically you take the long URL. So especially a blog post, you can use it. You could utilize it with a blog post, but I usually don't utilize it with a blog post. I'll take like one of my gifts that I'm giving away, or if I'm doing a program, like I always run this Instagram challenge. So I put that URL, which is right off of my website. I put it onto the Bit.ly link, where the Bit.ly inside of Bit.ly is a search bar. You put it in there. It shortens the link, and then you use that link on all your marketing. So mm-hmm. this way, even though, like, you know, the advertising and the analytics in both on both Facebook and in Instagram are very good, it gives you another, it gives you some other stats that, you know, it, and if it's too far away, then you're realizing that maybe the analytics isn't as good as you think they are. So it's just another way of tracking the link. I track my links on everything and for all my clients. So it helps me know immediately, well, you know, if I'm getting a lot of link clicks, that means that I did good with the copy or the picture. If I'm not getting any click links, you know, I have to wait for the analytics to come out on Facebook. They're a little delayed. However, with the Bitly, I know right away somebody clicked it. I know they clicked it.
Yeah, and Bitly, even the free one, I've never used the paid, but the free is a great service. It gives you basic analytics, just how many clicks it's had, and it's very straightforward. If someone's clicked on it, you get a count. So
yeah, and it gives you the area too. So like if I know, I try to stay in the United States only because like I do some digital, because I'm a digital marketing company, I do email marketing. And yep. So places like, for instance, Canada has the whole anti-spam act going on and you have to be really careful. So I have to know these things. So if the majority of my audience is coming from the areas of the United States where I really want them to come, that means that marketing is working for me. But all of a sudden, if I see like India or Pakistan or London or Germany or, you know, you name it, I know that I'm not hitting my market.
Yep.
And so it helps you tweak that a little bit. And when you're doing when you're really getting down to the nitty gritty with advertising, you're putting in the perimeter. So you don't have to worry about getting somebody from another country. I prefer to work with people in the country, but I do have a few clients outside the country too.
Yep. And that's the importance of working with a professional like you is I'll be on Facebook and the other day I saw an ad for a roofer out of, it was one of the M states that's not Massachusetts, like Missouri or Montana or Mississippi. And I'm pretty sure that this roofer did not travel to Connecticut because they listed three counties in whatever state they were in. But they obviously, the way they set up their ads wasn't targeted properly. And if I saw it, they were probably sending all over the country, which is not money well spent. They probably got phone calls from people in other states and that's wasting their time. So, you know, when I think some people think, oh, I can just do social media myself, but they end up wasting a lot of money and time because they don't know what they're doing.
Right. And that's the thing is there's like a very easy, when you're setting up the ad, it says USA, and that's probably what they did. They probably didn't click the, you know, go deeper, you know, like I'll go to New York. Like if it's an ad for me, I'll do like New York, Connecticut, in Massachusetts, I'll try to pick the surrounding states. If I want to get even deeper, like for like local, like I work for a few restaurants, I'll go local, you know, I'll go Ridgefield, Wilton, you know, or Fairfield County, you know, and it gives you a 25-mile. You could actually even pick the perimeter too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people from Westchester will probably use a restaurant that's in our area. So Mary, it is really precise. You know, so for you to get an ad for a roofing, they really messed up.
Yep. That they did. Yeah. Well, that's the same with social media. When somebody messes up these algorithms, you can tell because it stands out like a sore thumb.
That's for sure.
Yep. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things where people think they can just do it themselves. Like, oh, I can do my own design. I can do my own social media. I can do my own, you know. But, you know, you wouldn't try to do your own, you know, auto repair. But social media, they make it feel so easy that you think you can just go do it yourself. And then you wonder why it doesn't work.
Right. And the other thing with that, too, there's two schools of thought on that. It's like, you know, the big one is that, for instance, my husband's a plumbing contractor and he should be spending his time, you know, doing work, you know, mm-hmm. and getting the jobs that he needs to and also pricing jobs. He shouldn't be like doing his own social media marketing.
Yep.
And yes, a lot of people can do it. And even some of people can do it very well, but it's not really, it's not their passion. It's not their sweet spot. And they're really doing a disservice because, you know, there's people that need them and they're not able to do that because they're busy doing social media.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is I get this a lot. This is actually the funniest thing is my 5-year-old kid could do this. And I just kind of like want to just, I just say like, really? So your 5-year-old kid is an expert on marketing strategy. because here's I just don't like when I work for somebody, I just don't post to post. There's strategy behind it. There's a marketing strategy behind it. Everything that I do has a reason. Everything that we do together has a call to action behind it, or leading them somewhere, or telling them to do something, or making them feel good in this area. So it's, I don't think a 5-year-old actually could do that.
Yep. Yeah. I wrote a blog post a couple of years ago where I searched for a random realtor out in the Midwest. So it wasn't anyone near me who I'd know, but I was trying to find one of those Facebook pages that was obviously the content was generated by an algorithm. And I thought it would take me a while. It was the second one I found. And you could tell because it was, you know, this middle-aged white guy in Ohio, and the content is, you know, Cuban recipes and trips and, you know, all this very specific special interest stuff that probably wasn't his interests. And I'm just imagining people going out on an appointment with him being like, so you're into Cuban food. And he'll say, huh? Why do you say that? And the danger of just that when you have random content generated by a computer, which you know he's paying for, it doesn't do anything to build the brand. It just creates noise. And it sounds like what you do is you really focus on sharing their brand and their identity through social media as a platform to do that.
Right. And I'll give you this is a really cool example. I love this as a, you know, as an example. I've been working with this client in Colorado now for probably since I began doing social media marketing, you know, so good 4 or 5 years. And I do everything for her, and everything I do from her is based on her content. So she writes a blog post, and then everything that I generate comes from that blog post. Just to give you an example, what happened once was, this was about 2 years ago, her dad had passed away, and she was just so busy with that, she didn't have time to, she got the blog post out, but she didn't really have time to do anything else. And 1 week she didn't even get a blog post out. I was able to ramp up her social media during that time where she was giving me nothing, just on the mere fact that she had content that she had already built up. It happened to be around Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I was able to promote one of her services, and it didn't even look like she missed a beat. Whereas, you know, probably a 5-year-old couldn't pick up on something like that. And then also, you know, most marketers, I mean, I don't do my own voice when I'm working with a client. I try to, from their perspective, everything is from their perspective, which is what I'm really good at. So I get to be a lot of things during the day. I can be an architect. I can be a restaurant owner. I can be a coach. I can be a plumber's wife. I mean, I can be a lot of things during the day because I'm able to adapt, which a lot of people don't really have that skill. And I think it's a very important skill, along with actually knowing, very important when you're doing social media marketing, is you really have to know what your competitor is doing.
Yeah.
There's enough business out there for everyone. So there really is. But you should be like, if you're still selling widgets when you should be selling, you know, wrenches, I'm just, you know, making that out, then you're really behind the times. So for instance, I'll give a big example of that. There were still people 3 years ago still using the yellow pages. Why? I do not know why, because when I get that book, and I mean, I didn't get one this year, by the way, so they must be late or something. When I get that little book, I literally throw it in my recycling bin. Seriously, I don't, yep. I actually don't, you know, and I would never advertise in it, because over the years I've seen, you know, with my husband's plumbing contracting business, I saw what those ads did for his business. In the beginning, years ago, you know, 20 years ago, you know, depending on where your placement was, and you paid for placement, you know, that's how you got noticed, in the yellow pages. However, today, social media, Google AdWords, and I don't do a lot with Google AdWords, but they're, you know, doing the right SEO, having everything virtual, and having a platform such as a website, social media platforms, that's what's going to get you exposure today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and crazy with the yellow pages, is for my business, I was using the prospecting source because I do kind of a new social media and print platform, kind of new marketing, and I figured businesses advertising Yellow Pages, that's my market. That's people who need to come to the 21st century. Half of the phone numbers in the Yellow Pages did not connect with businesses. And I finally, wow. Gave up after calling about 50 of them. But half of them aren't even real links. So even if you do use the Yellow Pages, you'll be very frustrated, which, of course, continues the downward spiral for the few remaining people who still use it. They discover it's no good. And next time it comes in the recycling bin, because I don't know what it is or why people pay for it, but it's kind of a legacy platform at this point.
Right.
So we're coming to the end of our time, but if you have any final comments, we got a couple minutes left. So do you have any final comments to share?
If you're doing your own social media, make sure you're keeping up with, the trends. And that's another thing that when you work with somebody that does social media for a living, they know the trends that are coming up. So like, if you're not doing video by now, you're not up with the trends. So I always encourage people to make sure that they're, keeping up with the trends. And, definitely one of the platforms I didn't even mention today is a platform called LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And it's business to business. The average income on LinkedIn is $120,000. So if you're B2B, that's the place where you want to be. And right now I'm offering actually a free 30-minute audit. So if you're interested in that, you can email me or text me. You can text me at 203-515-8465. And literally just say free audit and I'll know what you're talking about and we can set that up.
And how else can people get in touch with you? What's your website and email?
My website is bizgonsocial.com. And my email is Lorraine with two R's, LORRAINE at bizgonsocial.com. And bizgonsocial is one word and it's biz, like BIZ. So, and the rest you can spell for yourself.
Yeah. And if not, that's a whole different problem you can't help with.
Right, I can't help with that. Autocorrect won't do it for you either.
That's true. All right. Well, thank you very much. It's been great having you on the show. Very informative. And I expect that our listeners have probably gotten a lot out of it. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, and thank you for having me.
Such a great interview. My thanks to Lorraine for joining us. I find social media fascinating because there's such incredible potential on it to reach a large audience with a relatively small budget. The challenge is that it's a constantly shifting landscape. Platforms are designed to get you to pay and to extract your money, whether or not they deliver results. This is why it's so important that if you're relying on digital marketing and social media for your business, you should work with a trusted, knowledgeable professional like Lorraine, who is staying on top of the constant, nonstop changes in the field. Often, the final determining factor for consumers as to whether or not they click on an ad or make a purchase is brand awareness. You are much more likely to buy from a company you know than one you're hearing about for the first time. And this is why many businesses that use digital marketing for their direct response advertising find that it pairs powerfully with the local branding power of Best Version Media. Every month, we at Best Version Media connect readers in local, affluent, desirable communities like Mystic, Greenwich, Glastonbury, and hundreds more across the country. Readers love our publications and often keep them for months because we feature their neighbors on the cover. Interesting local information, things to do, ways to get involved, and fun features like photos of cute pets and delicious neighborhood recipes. Since I know a lot of our listeners are in Southeast Connecticut, in this area we serve Mystic, Niantic, Lyme, Old Saybrook, Madison, Guilford, Glastonbury, and Mansfield. If you're interested in learning more about this powerful resource to affordably get your brand top of mind with some of the best customers in town, email me at michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. And of course, questions, comments, feedback on the show, that goes the same email, michael@guywhoknowsaguy.com. The Guy Who Knows a Guy podcast is produced and hosted by Michael Whitehouse. Our theme song is composed by Patrick Howard of Four Unicorns Design. That nifty sound effect is from Benjamin Harvey Design by way of freesound.org. Special thanks to Pat Helmers of Habanero Media for all the great advice he gave me on relaunching the show. Find me on the web at www.guywhoknowsaguy.com. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. It helps us more than you can imagine to do so. You can also follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/theguywhoknowsaguy. Please share links to this show with your friends you think would benefit from it. This is Michael Whitehouse, the guy who knows a guy, reminding you that it's not what you know, it's who you know, and how much you're willing to help them. JV Connect is coming up quick, December 12th and 13th. If you are looking for a networking event where you can meet people who aren't looking to just pitch you or take, but actually want to collaborate, build strategic partnerships, joint ventures, maybe even find some mentors, some coaches, people to support you, accountability partners, who knows? If you're looking for good people in an environment that's not stressful, but is set up to give you a lot of great connections in an efficient amount of time, check out JV Connect. jv-connect.com. That's jv-connect.com. December 12th and 13th, 2023. We'll see you there.